The contributions of Hmong people are being recognized on this Hmong American Day. There are events planned for Appleton, Manitowoc, and La Crosse. More than 60,000 Hmong people live in Wisconsin. And this year marks the 50th anniversary of Hmong resettlement in the U.S. Thousands of refugees came to states like Wisconsin after facing persecution for helping U.S. forces in the Vietnam War. A traveling exhibit on display at the Wisconsin Historical Society looks back at the half century of Hmong people making their home here in the state. Mai Si Tao is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and Asian American Studies at UW-Madison and co-creator of this exhibit. Mai Si, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This exhibit, marking the 50th anniversary of Hmong people resettling in the U.S., finding a home in Wisconsin, what does this anniversary mean to you?
Yeah, so this anniversary, you know, I've thought a lot about this anniversary. What does it mean to commemorate? You know, is commemoration a form of celebration, a form of mourning, right? And I think that this exhibit for this anniversary is really to mark Hmong life and living, right? But also to name Hmong historical trauma, but also moments in which Hmong people continue to heal and revitalize their culture and to live.
What does that look like in communities all over Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, that's as simple as, you know, teaching your children to read and write in Hmong, right? It's as simple as learning how to farm. You know, Hmong people make a big portion of the farmer's market here in Wisconsin. My parents also sold in farmer's markets as well. So, you know, they're just remaking life here.
You've been working on this traveling exhibit for years about Hmong people in Wisconsin with stories about their families fleeing war-torn Laos. And this exhibit currently on display at the Wisconsin Historical Society. What went into creating this exhibit? What did you learn on this journey?
Yeah, well, this is actually, you know, I'm just one of the co-curators, right? And it's a big team of Hmong community members, scholars, activists, and artists who came together who just wanted to actually see an exhibit on Hmong that was contrary to what we typically see out there. So challenging a heavily militarized narrative, right, to really focus on Hmong women, queer youth, elders, and looking at their stories and their lived experiences as also historical moments. So what all went into it, it was such a long process. We were first inspired by the Hmong Story 40 out in California, but also the Hmong Minnesota exhibit. So just kind of connecting with them and understanding the grassroots efforts and partnering with institutions and community members. So, you know, taking that kind of knowledge and that information, we helped to just really build this collective movement to work with community partners to inspire this exhibit.
Along the way, I imagine you heard so many stories, stories of trauma, stories of healing, stories that go deeply into one's personal history. How did you prioritize to then explain these stories in one exhibit?
So I'm a medical anthropologist by training, right? And I always caution against telling trauma narratives, right? Not to tell trauma narratives because it's, you know, exciting, right? But to be really cautious about what that can do. And, you know, the work that we've done, it's been actually really healing to hear people's stories and to make these kinds of connections and realizing that people are not alone, right? And so that has been a really healing component and making sure that we're not asking, like, for the traumatic stories, but asking for the stories that they're willing to tell, not forcing them to tell more than what they need to, right?
Do your own stories come to light through this exhibit? Because this is deeply personal. Your family has a story as well.
Yeah. So as the community, our community curators, we were thinking that we were going to go in the community and collect these stories. And you know what? Turns out we're also the community, right? The community does not exist outside of us. And so I was actually able to look into my own personal archives and be able to actually find that we have so many archival documents from when we were in the refugee camps, right? But also the things my parents carried with them from Laos to Thailand and then making the trip here to the U.S.
What were some of the things that they carried with them?
Yeah, so from Laos, my mom had a silver necklace, which was for her firstborn son, who passed shortly after 1975. And then also a French Indochina coin, which really speaks to the history of French colonialism in Laos, which a lot of people typically don't know about. And then the things that they carried from the refugee camps, right? You know, Hmong pandao or story cloths, right, that were not sold in the camps. And just all the refugee documents that they carried that included medical examinations, right, x-rays. So refugees were subjected to a lot of medical scrutiny to make sure that they were healthy and fit to come to the U.S. And so we actually have a medical document that consists of names of a bunch of other people, my brother including, that it lists people's medical conditions, mental health. And, you know, these were so sacred because if they lost these documents, right, that would ultimately, you know, impact whether they could come to the U.S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A part of the exhibit are these story cloths. And can you explain what story cloths are and what they are able to communicate?
Story cloths are these Hmong textiles that were produced in the refugee camps to depict Hmong flight out of Laos. And so typically it's you have these images of Hmong people leaving Laos, crossing the Mekong River and going to Thailand and then the refugee camps. And so these were story cloths that were produced in the camps to actually, you know, sell to Westerners, to Thai folks, in order to have money to live in the refugee camps because, you know, food was hard to come by. People in refugee camps suffered a lot, and so they made these textiles to sell.
It's interesting that they are a commodity as well. They're not just art, but they are also a story of survival to eat.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think it's interesting because the story cloth has now become so symbolic of what it means to be Hmong, right? But how do we also, you know, unpack that history of why the story cloth came to be?
You tell your students that you're a small town girl from the Appleton area. What was it like for you growing up as a Hmong person?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in rural Wisconsin, in a small town between Appleton and Green Bay. And we were one of three families that were Hmong and only family of color in this little small town. And, you know, I grew up with working class, white folks, farmers, right? And, you know, I just never saw myself represented in the world, right? There was this one moment in history class where my history teacher was telling me that, or telling the class that, history is what I tell you, right? He told us that, you know, there was the Vietnam War, Americans fought in it, but there were other people in it. And he looked at me and he winked. And he didn't say that Hmong people were a part of it, but he knew, right? And that, like, for me has been a really interesting moment to think about the secrecy of the war and the omission of information from history, right? And so as I've told my students, like, this is also an American history, right? We are here because the U.S. was there.
Hmm. We're talking about Hmong resettlement in Wisconsin as cities around the state observe Hmong American Day. And we have Maizi Tao, Assistant Professor of Anthropology at UW-Madison. May 14th is designated as Hmong American Day in several Wisconsin communities, Appleton, Manitowoc, and La Crosse. What can an official observance like this mean for Hmong communities around the state?
Hmong American Day, it has, you know, from what I can see, right, it's just such a moment of celebration. Because so much of Hmong history has been secreted, right, or omitted in history textbooks. And, you know, I've seen that the community is really excited about finally having that kind of recognition. Yeah, but for me, thinking about Hmong American Day is also a moment of mourning. Hmong people are refugees that are a product of war. And how do we recreate the world in a way that these conditions don't have to create more refugees?
The state legislature is set to pass resolutions. One is commemorating the 50th anniversary of Hmong people arriving in Wisconsin. The other recognizing the Hmong Lao Veterans Day. How are these proclamations being received by the Hmong community? What are your insights?
I think that these proclamations are important. They are long overdue. And recognizing Hmong Lao veterans is really important because they have never received the kinds of recognition that they've needed, given the fact that they've supported the U.S. as proxy soldiers.
What about the intergenerational transmission, if you will, of young people, young Hmong people who are communicating and being so close to their Hmong elders and also being accepted among their peers and in their classrooms and in, you know, as they take part in their communities? Is that a tricky intersection, if you will?
Yeah, it's not easy, right? So you'll see that in the exhibit, there are moments in which Hmong people, you know, in the early 90s struggled with what it meant to be a Hmong in the U.S., as well as trying to assimilate, right? And that in itself was very contentious. But then you also see moments where their parents coming to the U.S., you know, like I had mentioned earlier too, but not being able to see themselves in the world, and that they made that possible for their children, right, by making sure that they wore Hmong clothes and reminding them that they were Hmong and showing them Hmong videos and teaching them how to read and write in Hmong. And how, you know, it's interesting because in that moment, I think people don't realize that actually was a moment of revitalization, right? And it's very powerful. And so what's been fascinating is to see that there is another generation who is probably the second and third generation that are actually embracing these things. Whereas like the generation, like my generation, like really kind of pushed back against some of that, right? And had a little bit more ambivalence towards it.
That's so interesting. If there's one thing you want people to take away from this exhibit, what would it be?
So I'm, you know, like I mentioned, I'm a medical anthropologist. And as an anthropologist, we tell stories about the world so that we can understand what it means to be human, right? And so what I want people to take away from this exhibit is to understand that that the wars that we fight abroad don't stay abroad, right? They also show up at home and in the private space and in ourselves as well. And that this exhibit teaches us what it means to be human, the humanity, the resilience, and the ambivalence in the work of having to work through all of that. And ultimately, I want people to not just take away things, but actually to see themselves in it.
This exhibit comes as President Trump is accelerating deportations of immigrants. What are your thoughts there and that impact on the Hmong community?
So a partner that I work with, Southeast Asian Resource Action Center, you know, they talked about how these moments are actually traumatizing for Southeast Asian refugees, right? That they could actually, it re-triggers memories of people disappearing, being taken away from the streets, right? And not knowing where people are going to be. And so it is a very difficult moment. I think for some Hmong, right, they've connected their own experiences to what they're seeing in the world right now and are asking for change and advocacy. Yeah.
Maisy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Maisy Tau is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and Asian American Studies at UW-Madison. She joined us to talk about the history and living traditions of Hmong communities in Wisconsin as the state commemorates the 50th anniversary of welcoming Hmong refugees. The Hmong exhibit runs through Friday at the Wisconsin Historical Society in Madison.